In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from John, the 6th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you want Jesus? Or do you want something from Jesus? It makes all the difference in the world. And it is the point of conflict in our gospel reading from John chapter 6. The people who ate their fill of the loaves and the fishes are looking for Jesus. They know they didn't see Jesus get into the boat, so he must have left a different way at a different time. They figure that the most likely place that Jesus would be is in Capernaum, so they go there. And when they find Jesus, they say, "When did you come here? How long have you been here?" To which Jesus responds by saying, "You are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the bread and were satisfied." The feeding of the 5,000 was a sign that Jesus did, and it was meant to show who Jesus is, but they didn't see it. They saw only the sign. They aren't looking for Jesus. They are looking for something from Jesus. He's not the goal of their life. He is a means to some other end, to some other goal that they want. Part of the problem is that they see Jesus as the new Moses. So they expect Jesus to do the same things that Moses did. And when Jesus tells them to work for the food that the Son of Man will give, they say, "Well, what works must we be doing to be doing the works of God?" In essence, what do I need to do to get more food, more blessings from God? After all, Moses gave us the word of God, and we tried to follow it, and then we got bread and quail and water in the wilderness. So maybe this Jesus is giving us new works of God. But they wonder, what sign will Jesus do to prove that he is the new spokesman for God, the one who replaces Moses? The work of God is to believe in the one whom God has sent, Jesus says. He says this because he is not a new Moses. He is not bringing a word and work from God. He is the Word of God, who was with God and is God. The Word who has become flesh to dwell among us. He doesn't just give us gifts of God. He is the gift of God. In the Old Testament, God gave the bread, not Moses. But now, God is, at this very moment, giving the true bread from heaven, the bread of God that comes down from heaven to give life to the world. He doesn't just give life. Jesus is the life that is given. Are you looking for Jesus, or are you looking for something from Jesus? Around 1600 years ago, St. Augustine said that people rarely seek Jesus for his own sake. They don't come to church to find Jesus, but rather they come to church to get something from the church. We're very practical, very pragmatic. We want to know how we're going to benefit by believing in Jesus. How is Jesus going to help me? Is he going to heal me? Is he going to make me rich and successful? Is he going to make me happy? If he is, if he fits into my life and helps me out, then I'll keep him. If not, I'm gone. A quick trip to the Barnes and Noble section of Christianity and Other World Religions reveals our sinful world's understanding of who Jesus is. Just go down the list of self-help books and resources. You see Jesus right alongside all the others. If Jesus works for you, great. If he doesn't, well, just find something else. What is even more disheartening is that this even finds its way into our talk about heaven. You've seen this before. people talk about those who have died as being in a better place, as if heaven is a slightly better version of earth. So people who have died are free from sickness and death, and now they can devote themselves to the things that they really enjoyed on earth. And so they're up there, quilting, or crocheting, or playing cards, or golfing, or fishing, or playing basketball in the Lord's team, or singing in the heavenly choir. Jesus doesn't really have much to do with all of that in their speech. Because heaven is all about me. What I want. What I think will make me happy. And so, in essence, Jesus is just a means to get me to heaven so I can do what I want to do for eternity. It's selfish. It's sinful. It's idolatrous. It's pagan. Repent. Because if heaven isn't about being in the presence of Jesus, then it's not actually heaven. It's hell. And there is not quilting or crocheting or playing cards or golfing or basketball or fishing or singing in hell. The Bible doesn't describe hell in those terms. It describes it as being apart from Christ, where there is pain, suffering, unquenchable fire, and weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is no heaven without Jesus. There is no life without Jesus. There is no lasting true happiness without Jesus. Do you want Jesus? Or do you want something from Jesus? It makes all the difference in the world. Because you can get all the things from Jesus. Bread, happiness, health, wealth, success. But in the end, what will any of that get you? When you die, you will lose everything. This is a way that leads to eternal death. Death and nothing more. Jesus doesn't do signs for their own sake. He doesn't heal for the sake of feeling better for a little while. He doesn't raise the dead just so they can die again. He doesn't feed thousands of people just so that they can get hungry again later on. These are signs that are meant to show that he is the end of sickness and death and hunger and thirst. In John chapter 11, Martha is upset with Jesus that he didn't get there in time to heal Lazarus. Jesus tells her that her brother will rise again. But the resurrection for Martha is something like heaven for many of us. It will be a lot of people living again, but it doesn't really have to do anything with Jesus. And so Jesus tells her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. I am the good shepherd. In fact, in the end, there is nothing that Jesus gives that is not actually himself. We are not seeking something from Jesus. We want Jesus. We do not want Jesus to give us words and sacraments. We want Jesus, who is the Word and who is the sacrament. These things are not simply things that Jesus gives us. They are him. Baptism is Jesus. For you are joined to his death and resurrection, and God has made you a son whose inheritance is eternal life. Absolution is Jesus. the crucified and resurrected one coming to you in the midst of your sin and saying, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Holy Communion is Jesus in his crucified and resurrected body and blood for you to eat and to drink in the very presence of your God. He sustains you. He strengthens you. He upholds you with his righteous right hand. Don't you see? There is nothing here for us except Jesus. And Jesus, of course, is everything. Having Jesus, we have everything else added to us as well. But not as some nice things that will prolong this earthly life. We have already died, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. We are waiting for Christ, our life, to appear so that we will be like him and with him, because he is our resurrection. We pray for healing because we know that Christ is our health. We pray for peace because we know that Christ is our peace. We pray for love because we know that Christ is the love of God and the love we have toward one another. We pray for forgiveness because Jesus is our forgiveness. We aren't looking for something from Jesus. We are looking for Jesus. Because we know that if we have things from God, which we do, of course, everything we need to support this body and life, but if that's all we have, then they end when we end. But if we have Jesus, then we have no end. We have what we need for the resurrection of the body and eternal life with our eternal Lord. For Jesus says, the one who believes in him will never die. Even if our bodies rest in the ground for a while, that's not fully death. That sleep from which Jesus will awaken us. And if we are alive and believing in him when he returns again, then we will never die. We will simply be transformed. The lowly body into the glorious body. The mortal into the immortal. The perishable into the imperishable. We shall be transformed at the resurrection when he returns in glory. If we have Jesus, it is because he has us. He has marked us with his holy name and made us his own and gives us himself as a gift in word and sacrament. We have Jesus. And if we abide in him and he in us, then we have nothing to fear. Whether things improve or not, whether we are successful or not, whether we are happy or not, whether we are healed or not, we have nothing to fear. Because whether we live or whether we die, we live and we die in the Lord. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's, now and forever. Amen.